Okay, good evening, everybody. Good Chodesh. Chodesh Tov. The end of, it's not totally dark yet, the end of Rosh Chodesh Alf Nisan, or Liyov Beis. Nisan, it should be a month of Geula, Yeshua, V'shavu banim legvulam, the kibbutz Galios, L'shana Hazos, B'Yerushalayim, Habnuya, Halavai, Amen, V'Amen. B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asidin Ligael. We should be so zocha. So welcome everybody to our Erev Pesach, Pirkei Avos Learning. Just a calendar announcement, please. There is shiur next week, Be'ezer Hashem. So Thursday next week, which is early Tes Nisan, March the 30th, we do have Pirkei Avos shiur, and we do have a sponsor, Tizki the Mitzvos of the Ma'isim Tovim. Then we break till after the Amim Tovim, and we resume on April the 20th. Okay, next week, yes, shiur. I must say, I do not have any sponsors for any of the shiurim after Pesach. So this year, I hope, it's my tefillah and my prayer that there is a lot of zchuyos that emanate from these divrei Torah over the past almost 3 years. If you benefit from this year, enjoy this year, would like this chos of the Harbatzas HaTorah, please reach out to me. If you have friends who are not necessarily part of the Shir Chabura, but they will be interested in this chos, please reach out to me. We do need sponsors for after Pesach. Okay, let's go right into our learning. So we have three sponsors tonight. I will begin in the order in which I received them. Susie Fonfetter reached out back in January to sponsor tonight's Shir. She sent it to me with a screenshot. So here we go. Susie Fonfetter sent me the following. Lezecher Nishmas, her father, Yehuda ben Moshe, Alav Hashem, who was Nifter Beis Nisan 30 years ago. He was in the Munka Tabor labor camp in the time of the war. He saved his fellow Yidden from being hurt. He was unafraid and very strong. He loved people. He was always glad to help anyone. He had a heart of gold. He lost his first wife and a baby daughter that he never saw in Auschwitz. He never spoke much about them. And Susie wrote, my parents left Hungary in 1956 for us to be from Yiddin because the Hungarians started to tell us when to go to school, to write on Shabbos. We left Hungary very quickly. We were the first to arrive in army jets to America. Her parents started over and they registered her in Beis Yaakov and a brother in Salem, I assume a yeshiva. The only thing my father wanted was for us to be Erlich HaYidin. May the neshama have an aliyah. Yehuda ben Moshe, Alav Hashem, who is Nifter Beis Nisan 30 years ago. We thank Susie very much for her sponsorship. Also sponsored by Sherry Dagani, the Zecher Nishmas, her mother's Yertzei, which was Chof Gima Adar last week, Yehudas Rivka Bas Yaakov, may the Neshama Meres Chus Aliyah, and the words of these Divrei Torah that we will share, and the Zecher Nishmas, her father's Yertzei, which is on Erev Pesach, the day of Korban Pesach, Yadalid Nisan Avram Ben Dov, may both Neshamas have Aliyos and Zechiris the Tova, and the Chus of the Divrei Torah that we will share, and Jody Kofsky from Australia, Sydney, joins us in the Shir, and she is also sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas, her father, Binyamin Benish Ben Yitzchak, Yertzai Choftas Adar. Lezecher Nishmas, her mother, Chaya Ita Basicheskel Nisan, whose Yertzai is on 5 Nisan, and she wrote about her mother. She was a faithful link in the chain of generations. She was an extraordinarily dedicated single parent and a rock for all who depended on her. And Lezecher Nishmas, her brother, whose Yertzai was 19 Adar, Yecheskel Yitzchak Ben Binyamin Benish, whose heart of gold was too soft for a hard world. So on the Shama Sherev Elias and the Schus of the Divrei Torah that we will share tonight. And we thank Susie Fan, Feder, Sherry Dagani, and Jody Kofsky very much. Tisku mitzos ulamaisim tovim. Let's get right into our learning. So Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, we start talking about the Chag. It's no longer Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag. It's less than 2 weeks Kodem Achag. So I know it's a Pirkei Avos Shir, but it is with Pesach on all of our minds. It is going to be Pesach focused as well. Okay, so the Mishnah that we are going to use as a point of departure for tonight's shir is in Parak Dalet of Pirkei Avos Mishnah Yotes. And the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yanai Omer, Rabbi Yanai used to say, Ein biyadenu, it is not in our hands, lo mishalvas harashaim, not the tranquility of the wicked, va'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim, nor the trials and tribulations of the righteous. So Rabbi Yanai tells you something that we all know. We don't understand anything in this world. Rabbi Yanai says, Ein biyadenu, when something's in your hand, this pen is in my hand, this watch is in my hand, so it's something you grasp, you feel, you know, I can feel the links on the watch. I can feel the face. I can feel the little dial that adjusts the time. I can feel the pen. The cap can come off. I can put it on the top. It's something you feel. You own it. You feel it. You know it. You can grasp it. I can understand that this is a pen. Even if my eyes were closed and you put it in my hand, I would be able to identify. I feel the ridges of BIC, BIC on the side, and I can feel the ballpoint, and I can feel the cap. I can feel the bottom. So you know when something is in your hand, it means it's familiar to you. It's knowledgeable to you. It's something you can understand. Rabbi Yannai says, in regard to this world, Ein biyadenu. It is not in our hands. What is not in our hands? Lo mishalvas harasha'im, neither the tranquility of the wicked, va'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim, and not the trials, the tribulations, the suffering that the righteous folk, that the righteous face. So that means these things are not in our hand. Like Jodorowsky wrote about her brother, his heart of gold was too soft for a hard world. We just do not understand, Rabbi Yannai says, why Susie Fonfreda writes about her father, that he lost his first wife and baby daughter in Auschwitz. Ein biyadenu, these things are not in our hands. Why is it that we see the wicked and they seem to have tranquility and they prosper and peaceful lives, and then you have righteous people and things are so difficult for them and life is full of yisurim? These things are not in our head. And so that leaves us with lingering questions. The reality is that in the back of our minds somewhere, if we admit that we don't understand, it means that we have questions. Why is there shalva for the rasha'im? Why is there yisurim for the tzaddikim? And I think it's so interesting, and the reason I chose this Mishnah with Pesach so much on our mind is because Leil Seder is really a lot about questions. And a lot of what we do on Leil HaSeder is k'dei sheyishalu hatinokos, in order so that the children shas. Why do you cover the ka'ara, uncover the ka'ara, remove the ka'ara, put the ka'ara, break the middle matzah? Why do we drink 4 cups of wine? So much revolves around k'dei which is really a reflection of the fact that every human being somewhere within the deep recesses of himself at one point or another in life has questions. And in fact, questions are built into the structure of Leil HaSeder, because right by the beginning, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpatz, Yachatz, Magid. Magid is the crux of the Haggadah. We make Kiddush, Kadesh Urchatz, we wash our hands, Kadesh Urchatz, Karpatz, we dip a piece of vegetable in salty water to remember the tears, Kadesh Urchatz, Karpatz, Yachatz, we break the middle matzah, and then we come up to the main body of the Seder, which is Magid, telling the story of Yitzias, well, Shibud Mitzrayim, and then Yitzias Mitzrayim. And when we tell the story, we begin with Halach Ma'anyan, we point to the bread of affliction, we say, this is the bread of our affliction that our forefathers ate in Egypt. Then we are slaves, now we are free men, next year may we be in Jerusalem. And then, almost immediately, at the beginning of Magid, we open up with 4 questions. And perhaps you could say that there are 4 questions, it could have been 5 questions, it could have been 6 questions, it could have been 2, it could have been 1. 4 questions, you could say, represent the Arba Golios, the 4 exiles that was foreshadowed to Avram and the Bris Ben Absarim, all which we talk about in Magid, by the way. Which is part of Magid, and in this vision of the Bris Ben Absarim, the covenant between the feces, Avram was shown the Arba Golios, the 4 Golios, Baval, Paros, Madai, Yavon, and Romi, which we are in now. Maybe the reason we have Arba Kashos, 4 questions, is because each question represents a different exile. And exile leaves us with so many questions. Why is it that the Rishayim seem to have so much shalva, simcha, hatzlacha? And the tzaddikim seem to have yisurim and nisyonos and sorrows. Manishtana halayla hazam ikal leilos. We open up Leil HaSeder by asking a question. Manishtana, why is this night different from all other nights of the year? Shebechal halelos and all other nights of the year, anu ochim chametu matzah. You could eat leaven and you could eat unleavened. Halayla zeh kulo matzah. Tonight we eat only matzah. And what's interesting is you notice that there are no answers. The questions are stated, but answers are not provided. Now, perhaps you could say it is implied, it is implicit. We're going to spend the course of Magid answering the questions, but we open Magid by asking questions that are not answered. Shebechal halelos anu ochim sha'ar yirakos. On all of nights of the year, you could have green beans and tomatoes and lettuce and cucumbers and peppers and asparagus. Check, not check, frozen, bodek, whatever kind of asparagus you use. Halayla zemar, tonight we only eat bitter herbs. Shabachal halelos ein anu matbilin mafilu pam achas. On all other nights, we don't even dip one time. Halayla zeh shtei pamim. But tonight, built into Leil HaSeder, we dip karpus in salty water. We dip mara in charoses. Shabbachal halelos anu ochlin ben yoshvinu vein misubin on all other nights of the year. We eat sitting up or reclining. Halayla zeh kulanu misubin. On this night, we are all reclining. So we open up Leil HaSeder by stating we have questions. We do not understand things in this world. We don't understand, says Rabbi Yana. Lo ein biyadeinu lo mishavas harashayim va'af lo miyisurei hatzadikim. What's interesting about the questions is that two represent freedom and two represent shibur. Two represent shibur. Matzah is lechem oni, the bread of poverty. There is no time for the bread to rise. A slave only has a dry piece of toast. He doesn't have, you know, olive rosemary, sourdough dipped in, garlic oil as he begins his sumptuous meal of feasting. He has a piece of dry toast, and he's lucky if he gets some crust. And it's so hard, he can barely chew it. Halayda zeh kula matzah. On this night, we eat only maror. Vayimaru es chayim, bavoda kasha, bechomer uvelevenim, bechol avoda sher avdu ben befarach, perak al pasuk yadal of shknos. And then we read in perak yadbeis of shemos, how do you eat the korban pasach? Tzli eish amatzah umarorim yachluhu. So the maror and the matzah represent the bitter affliction, the shibur mitzrayim, the enslavement. And on the other hand, dipping represents, I just gave the example of, you know, garlic oil. My daughter-in-law makes such a delicious garlic confit. It's like olive oil with garlic and rosemary and sea salt baked in the oven for 3 hours. It's so delicious. So a rich man has time to sit, a free person has time to sit with his delicious challah or his sourdough bread and dip it in the bread and enjoy the garlic and shmir it. The dipping represents freedom. Furthermore, kulanu misubin also represents freedom. The fact that we can leave, we can rock climb, we can take our time. We're not rushed. If you rush, you have to eat standing up at the counter. Quick, 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 quick. If the taskmaster gives you 2 minutes to inhale your dry piece of toast, you don't have time to sit, climb, put your feet up, sing zmiros, dip in bread. So the other thing is, not only do we begin Leil HaSeder by asking questions, but we also note that the questions are divided into two categories. The first half of Manishtana deals with our Yisurin, deals with Shibud, deals with slavery and suffering. And the second half of Manishtana represents the Geula, the redemption, the freedom, the Cherus that comes after the suffering. And we don't answer directly these questions. Now again, you could say that through the course of Maga, the questions are going to be answered. We're going to explain the matzah, we're going to explain the mar, we're going to make motzi matzah and marar. By the dipping, we explain that we dip the karpus in salty water because it represents tears, and we dip the mara in charoses because it represents the bricks. I was learning with somebody yesterday in a private session, and she suggested that when we dip our finger into the wine by Dam Sardei Kinimar of the Tzach Hadash Ba'achav, that is another element of dipping on the El Seder. Interesting idea. And furthermore, kulanu misubin, because we are like kings, because we are free people. But we ask questions. We know that answers are not directly provided. And furthermore, you see that the questions relate both to the time of poverty and affliction, and also to the time of freedom and redemption. And I just think that this is really indicative, very much, of the life of a person in Olam Hazeh and the journey of the Jewish nation. Our journey and our lives, and again, we already said four kashas connected the Arba Golios. It represents, in a sense, the exiles to which we are subjected to. And just like there are four exiles through which we must journey before the ultimate redemption will come, we ask four questions showing that each exile represents different lingering unanswered questions in our mind. I am going to quote from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky in his Haggadah, From Bondage to Freedom, the Passover Haggadah commentary by Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zichrono Levracha, continuing this theme, this idea that came to me, which is questions. There's a comment, let's see. Okay. If you send me a message about sponsoring and I replied, then good, then you're covered. If I didn't reply and you sent it last week during our simcha, it's very possible that I missed it. If I replied to you, then good. If I didn't reply to you, please resend it, because it's very possible that in the hecticness, Baruch Hashem, it got lost. Okay. Manishtana. I'm quoting from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. Okay. The Passover Seder is dedicated to the children. The Talmud records a practice of giving the children confections, candy, treats, to keep them awake for the Seder. It is also recommended, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, not to delay the beginning of the Seder, so children will be awake. Furthermore, the Seder begins with the youngest child asking the four questions, the Manishtana, or the Arba Kashas. Kushios. In the story of the Exodus, Paro conceded he would allow the Israelites to worship in the desert, but he insisted only the adults could go and the children must be left behind. And part of the negotiation with Moshe Rabbeinu, Paro says, "L'chuna ha'gvarim v'ivdu as Hashem Elokeichem, the men can go." And Moshe famously said, "No, b'nirenu v'zekneinu b'vanenu v'vinosenu b'karenu v'tzonenu kichag l'Hashem lanu." No, we're all going, from the youth to the elderly. And the fact that he placed the youth, Moshe, before the elderly, b'nirenu u'v'zekneinu, the youth go before the elderly, indicates the importance which he gave to the youth. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, we don't have a yontif without the children and the elderly. It's not only for the men. We're all going. Our coming into being as a nation, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, contains the element of our survival as a nation. And priority must be given to the youth. So the whole Seder is structured around Kadesh Yishalu HaTinokos, the Gadata Labincha by Yamahu Lemar, Kol Marbalis Sapra Harizkim Meshubach. Budgets that give low priority to education, whether it is a household budget or a community budget, are making a grave mistake. That's what Rabbi Dr. Kutursky says. A person has to know when to save and when to spend, when to scrimp and when to be generous. He says when it comes to Jewish education of our youth, that must be the uppermost top priority for our communities and our families. The word Seder, he points out, means order. We know that. The order of things is that acquainting children with Judaism must be at the very top of the list. How do you know that from Leil Seder? Because so much of what we do in Leil Seder, in this order, is acquaint our children with the customs, with the traditions, with the Mesorah, with the mitzvos of Leil HaSeder. So much is for them. And acquainting our children with Judaism, he says, must be at the very top of the list. So that's Rabbi Dr. Twersky's introduction to the Manish Tana. And now he talks about this idea of questions. That we do. We have questions. Says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, a spiritual life is an intelligent life. A person who lives a spiritually connected life is living an intelligent life. He is living knowledge and wisdom, not of ignorance. A person who is striving to grow spiritually is living with knowledge and wisdom. He is thoughtful. He takes time to learn. He takes time to think, to read, to listen to Ashir, to review his learning, to tell it over to somebody else. In order to do this, it means you have to have knowledge and wisdom. You're not living an ignorant life. So knowledge and wisdom in Torah living are equated with living a spiritual life because we use our knowledge and wisdom to become more spiritual, to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Prior to the inventing of the printing press, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, books were laboriously handwritten and were either owned by the aristocracy or by the clergy. That's who could afford to own the books before the printing press. The lay people were largely ignorant of religious writings. Scriptures were not readily accessible to them. When we say scriptures, we're talking about the books of Tanakh. Indeed, when the printing press made scriptures available to all, and in this case, he's not talking about the Jewish text, listen to this, the church was most displeased. The church did not want to have their books available to all. They wanted to have a monopoly on what they taught you and when they told you. It is little wonder then that the Reformation, which succeeded in challenging existing dogma, followed the popularization of scriptures by means of the printing press. So what he just said is Reformation, which challenged the existing dogma, only happened once the printing press came into being. Dogma thrives on ignorance. They wanted everyone to be ignorant. Don't ask, don't tell, don't know, don't think, follow blindly what we say. Now, when you think about our religion, it's the very, very, what? Opposite. It's totally the opposite. We encourage our children to ask. We start with them around the table. We take off the car, or remove the car, put back the car, dip once, dip twice. Why? So that the children will say, what are we doing and why are we doing this? Judaism, to the contrary, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, has always emphasized education. And more than education, primarily we emphasize knowledge of Torah. The first concern of a community was always the cheder, the school, which had primacy even over the synagogue. Actually, Susie Farnfeder wrote that her parents left Hungary because her father made sure until they came to America to enroll her in the Beis Yaakov and her brother in the yeshiva. Because primacy in Judaism is cheder. Why? Because in cheder, which is given primacy even over the synagogue, that's where we teach the children. Their children will be taught Lashon HaKodesh and given access to Torah. Inquiry is never discouraged. You know, it's interesting. I gave a whole shiur this morning on the Arba Banim. If you missed it, you could go into Why You Torah and listen. But the Arba Banim are asking questions as well. Chacham Mahu Omer. But really, it's Chacham Mahu Shoel. Ma ha'idus v'chukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. The Chacham asks a question. The Rasha also asks a question. Ma avodos osechem. The Tam also asks a question. Ma zos. And the She'eni Yodei Lishol doesn't know how to ask. But you see that questions are encouraged, questions are addressed, questions exist, and questions must be answered. Inquiry has never been discouraged. Even the fundamental principles of faith, which are essential to Yahadus, did not escape philosophical inquiry. Even Moshe asked. Maseches Brachos Zayin Amud Aleph. We just had Kitisha a few weeks ago by the Cheder Egel. And why did Moshe ask? The Gemara says, Wama Yesh, related to Rabbi Yanai's Ein Biyadeinu Lo Mishavas HaRishayim Ve'afalu Yisur HaTzadikim. Why does the Gemara tell us in Maseches Brachos? Moshe Rabbeinu asked, Lama Yesh Tzadik V'Tovlo, Tzadik V'Ralo. Lama Yesh Rasha V'Tovlo, V'Rasha V'Ralo. The whole Leil HaSeder revolves around, begins with, introduces us to the concept of questions. It is most appropriate, therefore, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, that at the very outset of our journey through spirituality on Leil HaSeder, we begin with asking, why? Why is this night different from all the other nights of the year? The four questions, however, emphasize another aspect of spirituality. Rabbi Tversky points out something so brilliant. You know, everything he expounds upon, when I learn and read and teach Rabbi Dr. Tversky, his approach to Torah is through human psyche, human emotion, and the human experience. That's because he's Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, and he spends so much time working with patients in terms of the human experience of healing, of mindfulness, of recovering addicts. The four questions, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, emphasizes another aspect of spirituality, the ability to live with conflict. You know, if you think of your life, is everything in your life always, these are hard words to use in English because it doesn't indicate what I'm trying to say, but is everything always nisayon-free? Is everything always perfect? I hate that word. It's not, I can't really say it in English, but try and understand what I'm saying. Is everything in your life always happy, always perfect? Excuse the phraseology. I'm using it for illustrative purposes. Always nisayon-free, always smooth sailing? Or simultaneously, can you experience simcha with atzvos? Rashi, to write at the end of Parshas Bereishis Perikvav Pasuk Ches. There are times of chadva, happiness, and there are times of avelus, mourning. And sometimes these times coexist. Doesn't have to mean happiness and mourning. It means a paradox of emotions can exist simultaneously within the same person, within the same time frame. And the four questions, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky in the Manish Tana, actually emphasize another aspect of being a Torah true Jew, of spirituality. The ability to live with conflict. The emphasis of modern psychology on the resolution of contention. So we want to resolve all contention. Modern psychology wants to resolve any questions. Has resulted in people rejecting all conflict. Living with stress has become unthinkable. And many individuals who find themselves entangled in struggles that are not readily resolvable may attempt to escape by desperate methods rather than attempt to resolve or live with conflict. I'll give you an example of what he's saying. We just finished Baruch Hashem, Hodu Hashem, Kitov, Kilo, Amchasto. We just finished Shavu Brachos, Baruch Hashem, for our daughter and new son-in-law, Baruch Hashem, Hodu Hashem, Kitov, Kilo, Amchasto. Okay. So the Shavu Brachos on Sunday that my two brothers, my sisters-in-law and brothers and their families made. So my brothers say we're doing a very interesting activity. And the activity we're doing is everyone present who felt comfortable. It was family and very close friends, the close friends of my brother and sister-in-law, so some panim chadashos who hadn't been by the wedding, should give marriage advice. It was very, very interesting. I'd never seen it before. A piece of marriage advice to the new couple. So people spoke about different ideas. Okay, it was very, very nice. About tranos, getting along, don't go to sleep angry. I spoke about hakar satov, always saying thank you to your spouse, even if it's something that they've done so many times over and over, never failing to appreciate what they've done. My son, who's married for 7 months, Baruch Hashem, said, never assume that the man knows what you're thinking. If you're thinking something, just say it outright. Don't assume he knows. So it was very nice. But something that my brother said was very interesting. I've called my brother Fried before, Rabbi Dov Fried, a very beloved master mechanic and Rabbi Yeshivas Har Torah. Anyone who goes to Har Torah knows how a master mechanic my brother Baruch Hashem Kenai Nahara is. He said something very interesting. And he said to the Chasam Kala, sometimes there's going to be mechlokas. And you have to know, but that's okay also. You're not always going to, it's true you shouldn't go to sleep angry, but sometimes there is going to be machlokas. And he explained after, and he said to us, you know, Shay never go to sleep angry, always be mevater, always gives in, means that the conflict is always, you will go with the expectation that the conflict will always be resolved immediately. This is what Rabbi Dr. Tversky is trying to say. My brother was saying that the couple has to know that sometimes there is going to be conflict. It's two totally different people coming from two totally different opposite ends of the spectrum. I'm not talking about drastic emergencies where someone has to really get out right away, okay? In general, there's going to be conflict. Why did you buy that schnitzel? I told you to buy the trimmed and clean schnitzel. And it's a stressful time, and you're overworked, and you're underpaid, and you're stressed out, and someone's crying, and you're having a tantrum, and it's Erev Chag. So the schnitzel becomes, at that moment, a very big deal. Maybe you should be mevater, but maybe at that specific moment, you can't be mevater. So what he was saying is that you have to know that in life, there is going to be conflict. It's not always going to be immediately resolved all the time. That's what Rabbi Dr. Tversky is saying the Manishtana represents. The Manishtana isn't only about having questions, because we all have questions in life. Maybe not people on a very different level. But even Moshe Rabbeinu had questions, so I don't even know how I could say that even the Gadol Dor doesn't have questions. I mean, Moshe, the Gemara told you, I told you the Gemara, it's Brachos Ayin Aleph. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu also asked. Lameish Sadik Vitovlo, Sadik Varalo, Lameish Rasha Vitovlo, Rasha Varalo, Harenias Kvodacha, Vedacha. Let me just understand you, God. Kilo Yerani Adam Chai. So if Moshe asks questions, what should I say? So today I don't think there's anyone who doesn't have questions. If Moshe Rabbeinu had questions. Rabbi Dr. Tversky is saying, and this is what my brother's point was, Rabbi Dov Fried. It's true to be Mevater. It's true not to go to sleep angry. It's true to resolve the conflict immediately. But it's also healthy to know that sometimes there is going to be conflict. It has to be resolved in a healthy fashion, in a safe fashion, in an appropriate, respectful fashion. But a person has to know in life there is going to be conflict. Life is not conflict-free. And that's what the Manishtana represents, as Rabbi Dr. Tversky. Remember I said to you in the beginning, it's so beautiful. Two of these kashas represent Shibur. Two of these kashas represent Gula. Which is it? Is it Shibur or Gula? It's both. And sometimes in life, a person can simultaneously be going through Shibur and Geula at the same time. Am I explaining it properly? Hello? Yes? It's clear what I'm trying to say? Okay. Yeah. And also, I forgot to welcome my mother-in-law. Hi, Ima. The four questions emphasize yet another aspect of spirituality, the ability to live with conflict. And that's what my brother was trying to say. There is conflict in life. A person has to expect that there's going to be conflict. Two people cannot always agree on everything. It's not possible. That's what the Manishtana represents. Not only that life is full of questions, even Moshe Rabbeinu had questions. We open up the Seder with questions. Kadesh Yishalo Tinokos. The Arba Banim asks questions. Chacham Mahu Omer. He doesn't actually Omer, he asks. Chacham Mahu Shoel. My Edus Vachukim Vamishpatim. Rasha Mahu Shoel. They're asking questions and we encourage. We don't turn them away. The church wants to ban all printing press so that nobody knows everything. Everyone remains an ignoramus and we are in charge of the biblical canon and we'll tell you what to do. Judaism's not like that. Go into a Jewish bookstore today. Go into any from home today. Kanai Nahara, we have more books in Sfarim than we could read. Because a spiritual life, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, is an intelligent life. And an intelligent life is a life of knowledge and wisdom, not of ignorance. And once you have knowledge and wisdom and spirituality, you're going to ask. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the highest spiritual level of anybody who ever lived. I mean, Hashem spoke to him, panim al panim. You can't get spiritual than that, more spiritual than that. He asked. But besides for just the fact that we have questions in life, which is how we open up the whole Leil HaSeder, and I'm proposing that the Arba Kashos relate to Arba Golios, because Golios is full of questions. The four questions emphasize yet another aspect of spirituality, the ability to live with conflict. A person cannot expect that all conflict will be resolved in the blink of an eye, or that there will never be conflict. If it's not with your spouse, it could be with a child, it could be with a sibling, it could be with a teacher, it could be with a rabbi, it could be with a neighbor. Of course, the tool is to know how to resolve it. But to understand that life is conflict. The emphasis of modern psychology on the resolution of contention It's not the proper approach, as Rabbi Dr. Suki. It's not the Torah approach. It's not a healthy approach. It results in people rejecting all conflict. Living with ongoing stress has become unthinkable. People want everything resolved right away. Sometimes, nisyonos and situations of life cannot be resolved. And the answer is not to resolve them, but rather to learn to live with them. We ask two questions that relate to Shibud, Matzah and Marah, and two questions that relate to Geula. Kulanu Mesubin and Matbilim Shtei Pamim. Only a rich, free, wealthy, liberated person has time to dip in bread and in garlic confit. Living with ongoing stress today has become unthinkable. And many individuals who find themselves entangled in struggles that are not readily resolvable may attempt to escape by desperate methods, such as alcohol. We worked with many recovering addicts, mind-altering substances, or diversionary activities. Unfortunately, the incidence of substance abuse today and other such realms is so high. And Rabbi Dr. Tversky is saying people are looking for an escape rather than accepting that life has conflict, whether it's spirituality, it's physicality, with people. This is going to come out wrong. But with God, and that's not what I mean. But sometimes we don't understand Hashem. Sometimes we don't understand Hashem. Wait, one second. Hashem's Hashem, we're mortal. So what I'm going to say is that we never understand Hashem. And we don't understand. And that's living with conflict. Being a Jew is living with conflict. Did you see that yesterday morning, my thanks to my friend Rachel Salman, who follows Mikam Chayisho WhatsApp status. Sometimes she sends me things that she knows would be of interest to me. The Paley family made a bris yesterday morning. The baby's name is Yonasan Rafael. Yonasan Hashem gives Rafael. It should be a healing. Remember the two brothers, 5 and 7, on the bus stop in Ramat about 5 or 6 weeks ago? They had a bris yesterday morning. So is it Simcha or Eva? B'shas chadvasa chadvasa, b'shas avvasa avvasa. Is it Simcha or Avedus? My two children were brutally murdered, Al Kiddush Hashem, a few weeks ago. And yesterday they welcomed the new baby into the Brisha Avram Avinu. Life has conflict. It's full of conflict. If children come to the table with kashas, we come to God sometimes with kashas. I'm not saying it's the best approach. Of course we should work on strengthening our emunah. Of course we should never have questions. But Moshe Rabbeinu had questions. And the Haggadah is built around asking. We encourage the children to ask. But then we also have to know that sometimes things can't be answered. And sometimes conflict remains. This loss, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, of tolerance for conflict. The fact that in society today, we have lost tolerance for conflict, has had a profound impact on interpersonal relationships, as well as on interpersonal psyche. You understand what he just said? Since people cannot handle conflict, it has a profound impact on interpersonal relationships. Instead of working through conflict, what do we want to do? Just throw out the baby with the bathwater. Well, if I'm in conflict with you and you're in conflict with me, that's the end of the relationship. Maybe you could work through it. Maybe we don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Maybe it's not the end of the relationship. But because we have a loss of tolerance in modern day society for conflict, this has had a profound negative impact on interpersonal relationships as well as on the intrapersonal psyche. Intrapersonal, meaning in your own psyche. Because we expect everything always to be conflict-free. And that's really what my brother was trying to say at the Shavuot Brachos. And he said that before I prepared this shiur. When I prepared the shiur, it really came to mind. He was saying, of course the Chas and Kala have to know that they should never go to sleep angry, and they should always compliment each other, and they should be mevater, and they should always say thank you, and you shouldn't think the other person's a mind reader. There are some times. And there's going to be, and it should be seen as healthy conflict. I'm not talking about, please don't even, but yotzim in a call, emergency situations where it's totally, God forbid, pikuach nefesh. You understand. I'm not talking about those. But in a normal relationship between two parties, whether it's siblings or parents and children or spouses or neighbors, sometimes there's going to be differences. And the proper approach is not to escape, to run away from conflict. It's not going to solve anything. It's to try and work through it in a healthy fashion. That is another lesson, he says, of Manishtana, The Manishtana emphasizes not only that we have questions, but another aspect of spirituality, quote, the ability to live with conflict. And I want to tell you something. If you cannot live with conflict, a person cannot be a proper Eved Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik says, quote, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he's mistaken. So what are you going to do on a cloudy day? Cut off your relationship with God? And I don't mean cloudy, like literally cloudy. That you check the weather and it's cloudy today. So when the sun shines, God's we're friends. When the sun shines, God, we're friends. And when it's cloudy, okay, finished, I'm done with you. So since I can't live with conflict, if I can't live in conflict with my sister, and I can't live in conflict with my spouse, and I can't live in conflict with my neighbor, and I can't have conflict within myself, so that means when there's conflict between me and you, God, we're done. It's not a far stretch to say that's where it will come to. Why? Because Rabbi Yani tells you why. You're never going to understand, guaranteed, why the righteous have tranquility and why the wicked have tranquility and the righteous prosper. So what's going to happen ultimately to your spirituality when there are conflicts that cannot be resolved if we do not learn to live with internal conflict? The four questions, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, point out that the Seder, Leah HaSeder, remember he said Seder is order, and at the top of the order in Judaism is focus on the children and educating the children. The four questions point out that the Seder, the feast of spirituality, it is a night of heightened awareness of the presence of God in our lives, is a night of great geula, al geulaseinu v'al pidush nafshenu. We say Hallel before the Seder, before the meal, after the meal. The Hallel before the meal relates to Gulas Mitzrayim. The Hallel after the meal relates to the ultimate Gula Asida. That's from Rabbi Soloveitchik and others. It's a night of tremendous heightened spirituality. It's a night when Hashem skipped over the Jewish houses. Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem. He did not smote those in the Jewish houses when he smote the Egyptians. And it's a night when we were saved directly. Ani Hashem, Ani Lo V'Acher. Lo Malach, V'Lo Sarah, V'Lo Shaliach. It's a night when we welcome God into our homes. In such a heightened sense, we should feel tangible Kedusha. And we go through the whole Seder, and we prepare so much for Yom Tov Pesach. Don't leave God out of the equation in all of your preparations. The four questions point out that the Seder, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, which is a feast of spirituality, shouldn't just be a physical feast. It should be a feast of spirituality. Is characterized by the coexistence of conflicting ideas. If your life does not have conflicting ideas, conflicting experiences, then I would like to meet you. Because you are, I'm going to say the word wrong, anomaly? Anomaly? Am I saying the word right? Yeah? The four questions with which we begin Magid teach us that at the height of our spirituality, our lives are characterized by the coexistence of conflict. That's what it means to be a Yid. Arba kashos, arba galios. Why did we have to go to Babel? Shem yeshavnu gab machinu bezachrenu et zion. Ech nashir tshir Hashem ha'admas nechar. Tehillim kuflam and zayin. Emeshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach imini. Tidbak lashoni lichikim lo eskarechi. Why? No answer. Ech ha'yashva bedar ha'ir rabasi yam ha'isak ha'mana. Why? Galus Bavel, Paros Umadai, Esther Mordechai, Yavan, the enemy against Torah and Yahadus and Mitzvos. And finally, if there's any questions you could ask about Galus, it's about Galus Romi. On Monday, a 32-year-old man, his first name was Or, like light. I forgot his last name, I'm sorry, I should really remember, who was shot 11 days ago in Tel Aviv in a terror attack. He succumbed to his wounds on Monday, 32 years old. His mother made a statement, we lost the light of our lives. The hospital fought valiantly to save him. If there's any questions that we have, it's about Galus Romi. It's so long, it's so dark, it's so bitter. It's so filled with maror, the charoses, with salty water and bitter tears. If you want to remain a Yid, you have to be prepared to live with conflict. You have to say, I accept. I accept it from you. I don't understand. I have questions. But you can, you and me, you can still be Mary Bona Shalom, and I could still be your Eved Hashem. Four questions. Is feast of spirituality is characterized by the coexistence of conflicting ideas? That's what my brother Dov was saying to the Chasan Kala. You have to know that life is going to have conflict. Be prepared for it. Be aware of it. Know how to battle in a positive and healthy way. I don't think it's never going to arise. It arises within ourselves. I'll give you an example. Should I make time to daven or not make time to daven? Should I make time to go to shir or not make time to go to shir? Should I speak Lashon or should I not speak Lashon? You always have conflict with yourself. You have conflict with other people. And to some degree, I hope it's not coming out wrong. We have conflict with God. Every time you say, Hashem, why? How could this have happened? Why did this happen? What do you want from me? It's some degree of conflict. Even Moshe asked. We eat the dry matzah, the bread of slaves. And we eat the bitter herbs. He's talking about the arba kasha. So we eat matzah. It's bread of slaves. They have time to dip in garlic, rosemary, confit. And sit and sing zbiros. And tell divrei Torah. And dip some more and eat more challah. They have time. They eat rushed, hurried over the animal trough. Matzah represents the dry cracker, the stale piece of bread that the inmates got when they came back after a hard day of slave labor. Some black, quote, soup with some grime and a stale crust of bread. That's matzah. And then we eat maror. By yamaru eschem, I quoted the pasuk for you before, perak al pasuk gedalat. Bavoda kasha b'chomer v'levenim b'chol avoda asher avdu ben b'farach. And the bitter herbs commemorate enslavement. Avadim ha'inu, the parah b'misraim. And yet, in the same stanza, or the very next stanza, the same poem, the same song, we recline on couches, kulanu misubin. Are you a slave or king? Are you free people? Or subjugated? Are you master? Or are you ruled over? We recline on couches, we dip appetizers into dressings, according to the custom of the free and the wealthy nobility. How can we reconcile these opposites? The Manashtana isn't just that we have questions. It's that we must learn to live with conflict. I don't believe, I hope I'm wrong, but it's not the nature of life. I don't believe that any of us have life that is conflict-free. Again, Ben Adam Chavero, Ben Adam Asmo, Ben Adam Makom. If Rabbi Yonai said, it's not in your hands, the shalva of the Rasha'im or the Yisurim of the Tzadikim. If Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, so what should we say? What do we say? We ask for Akashas. And they represent the conflict. How, says Rabbi Dr. Sursky, how can we reconcile these opposites? The answer is, quote, we do not need to reconcile all conflict. Remember we said we asked the Arba Kashas and we don't have an answer. I know Magad is the answer, but Lamaisa, this child asked and there's no answer. Because sometimes there is no answer. That's exactly right, says Rabbi Dr. Tursky. That's what you need to know, Chasan Kala said, my brother. You do not need to necessarily resolve all conflict. The concept of freedom, as espoused in Torah, is quite distinct from the secular concept. What does it really mean to be free? It means you're stuck in love with conflict. According to the latter, the secular idea, the ultimate aim of freedom is the absence of all discord. The absence of all discord, all dispute, all conflict, all questions. This is a state rarely encountered in any reality. And so that's not true freedom. But then you live with an expectation that you will never attain. And life will become a dismal failure. Because you expected something that's totally not in tandem with reality. Judaism? Judaism says, sit down on the holiest night of the year. And you know how we're going to start? Let's ask questions. Why taka are we eating matzah? What does that represent? Why taka? Is shibud, is galus, is slavery so difficult, so bitter, so hard? Why are all we getting is a dry crust of bread at the end of slave labor? Let's have some mara. Pass the mara. Make a bracha on the mara. Why do we have to eat only mar? And then on the flip side of slavery is freedom. Why are we all reclining and why are we all dipping? Torah freedom, true chayrus, includes the capacity to live with stress. With is italicized. Torah freedom includes the capacity to live with stress. Now, it's nice if you don't have it. It's wonderful if it doesn't exist in your life. It's beautiful if everything is freestanding and you only have the freedom aspect of the Manishtana. But for most Basar Vadam, and for most Ovdei Hashem, we go through these dual experiences simultaneously in life. Torah freedom includes the capacity to live with conflict and with stress. But his last line, but nevertheless to be able to achieve serenity in the face of that conflict. That's what Ishtavas and Nefesh is. Ishtavas and Nefesh, equanimity of the soul, does not mean that there are no speed bumps in life. It means there are questions. You will ask them. There is discord. There is conflict. We don't understand. Why matzah? Why mar? Why reclining? Why dipping? But what's freedom? What is freedom? Freedom is understanding that there are questions. It's the capacity to live with those questions. And it's the ability to achieve serenity in the face of conflict. And that's the Manishtana. It really represents the journey of all of us through life. The questions that we all have, the answers that are not always available, and more than that, the dichotomy of emotions and experiences, and what it means to be an Eved Hashem. And that's what Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim and Leil HaSeder is. On the one hand, we celebrate Galus Geulas Mitzrayim. On the other hand, we're still in Galus. Hash Tahacha. We're still here. So are we in slavery or freedom? Well, we're in freedom from Egypt, but we're still in slavery to the Umas HaOlam. It's okay. The Torah says, you know what, it's okay. You can celebrate one Geula while you still long for the end of this Galus. You can rejoice over that while you have tzara over this. Because true freedom as a yid is the ability to understand that there are questions, there is conflict, and nevertheless, through Torah and mitzvos, through yediyas Hashem, through spirituality, knowledge, and wisdom, a Jew can, and Be'ezor Hashem will, if he works on himself, achieve serenity in the face of conflict. Whew! A lot to think about. There is shiur next week. My plan is part two of the shiur to continue the topic of Manishtana and this topic that we started this evening. Lots of food for thought. We thank Susie Fonfeder very much for sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas, her father, Yehuda ben Moshe, who is Nifter on Beis Nisan 30 years ago. We thank Sherry Dagani very much for sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas, her mother and her father, Yehudas Rivka Bas Yaakov Alel Sham, and Avram Ben Dov, Alav Hashem, and Jody Kofsky for sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas Binyamin Benish Ben Yitzchak, Chaya Ita Bas Yecheskel Nisan, and Yecheskel Yitzchak Ben Binyamin Benish. May all Neshamas have Zechiros and Aliyos Letova in the Zechus of these Divrei Torah. I will see you next week, Be'ezor Hashem. I do not have any sponsors for after Pesach. If you are interested in the Zechus and the sponsorship, or if you have friends who might be, please reach out and let me know. Besuros Tovos. We long for the day when what? Teiku. We open the fifth cup. Is the fifth Koshal Eliyah. Is Koshal Eliyah. Zachur Latov. What is going to happen when Eliyahu comes? Hi, Avram. I'm finishing in a minute. You're leaving or coming?
Coming.
Okay. Teiku. Tishbi Yavar. Kushios Ubayus. When that glorious day comes, Eliyahu Navi will answer all of our questions, all of our travails, all of our difficulties. And be most of Mashiach, we will not have those conflicts anymore. Thank you so much, everybody. I went way over. Thank you so much, everybody. Seres Tovos, Chodesh Tov, and a wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov.